This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roisin Kennison and Noel Lim. Let's talk about our exit strategy out of this pandemic. Because according to Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, the government is drafting a national recovery plan in preparation for the country to emerge from the COVID-19 pandemic at a reasonable level.
The plan will be presented to the National Security Council next week, and it will be based on data and science. I'm scared to ask what our current plan has been based on, but part of the plan is also to inform on current developments and phases involving the management of COVID-19 in the country. So what should be in the exit plan, and what is the most important aspect of the strategy? Also, a timeline as to what we can expect from this.
For some thoughts on this morning, we're speaking with Tricia Yeo, CEO of the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs, better known as IDEAS. Tricia, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. So the government is drafting this national recovery plan in preparation for our country to emerge from the pandemic at a somewhat reasonable, stable level. What would be your definition, though, of reasonable?
Hi, good morning, and thanks for having me. So it's good. I mean, first of all, I'd like to welcome the government's drafting of this national recovery plan or an exit strategy. I think it is very welcome. I think it's timely. It's something that should have been released some time ago. But as we know now, the pandemic is at large. It's going to be a prolonged one. I don't see us exiting from this in the next even 1 to 2 years or more if there are different strains that come about. So what is reasonable? That is a good question. I think what we would like to see really is, number one, how do we address the pandemic itself? So we've been at this for over a year. I think we've learned enough about the virus, what should be permissible, what should not be. And addressing the pandemic will be the first thing. There are many things about the pandemic that we can talk about, but I think I'll just focus on a few things, which is increasing the number of tests per day, so mass and frequent testing, you know, making sure that we also sign up to these cheaper tests that are being rolled out now, which can be delivered mass to different companies, even to residential neighborhoods. So what this does is allow for early detection and contact tracing and immediately addressing the issue. So that's on the pandemic. But I think more broadly, what we're really talking about when we talk about a national recovery plan, is also about the economy. And the economy, as we know, has been the hardest hit. Never before have we had these sorts of lockdown situations, and we already know many of the SMEs are in debt or have had to shut down because of the last year. So I think we're looking at really, we need to take this opportunity to address the structural inefficiencies that were already in existence prior to the pandemic. And this includes really rethinking about the structure of the economy, the role of the GLCs, as well as restoring investor confidence through predictability and restoring stability.
So, Tricia, when we take a look at this National Recovery Plan, what kind of data and science would you like this to be based on? Because a lot of times it seems like the plans that we've had so far seem a little bit haphazard at times. What kind of benchmark should we be paying attention to?
So what the government has said recently is that it will relook at the current lockdown if the number of cases fall below 4,000 a day. I think this is not the only metric by which we should be measuring how we handle lockdowns. And I know I sound like a broken record because I've said this many times already, which is that the government should have a more sophisticated system. And we have called for a pandemic severity index, which takes into account all sorts of different measures, not just the number of cases, because the number of cases can be quite illusory in the sense that the number of cases falls as testing falls, increases when testing increases. So we should take into account at least four different measurements. The R-naught, the virus infections per day, there were three or four others that we had put into a statement. But the point here really is you cannot just depend on one metric to be able to determine whether or not we slide down or increase the lockdown severity. So I think when we talk about data and science, not only should it be data-based, but it should also inform the public transparently, and this would therefore increase public trust in the government as to how they're making their decisions. So this cannot any longer just be dependent upon perhaps by the National Security Council, which, as we know, is in charge during the pandemic crisis, or by haphazard decisions that are taking place across the different ministries, which, as we see, are not very coordinated. And we would like to see perhaps very joint decision-making taking place, not just through press conferences, joint ministry press conferences, but also, I think there have also recently been calls for representation of the opposition within the National Security Council, because what this does is that it shows there is a more broad-based policy-making, decision-making process. And at the moment, if all the decisions are going to be made by just a small council, this does not really assure the public about the validity, reliability. Yes, you talk about data and science, but is this also being communicated to the public larger?
Yeah, Tricia. So very quickly, the more plans we have, it can get more confusing. How should this national recovery plan complement the 12 Malaysian plan, which is in the final stage of preparation?
They have to be aligned. I think the 12 Malaysia plan will set direction for multi-year strategy, whereas the national recovery plan, as I understand it, because it's not recent, they were thinking about this some time ago already in last year. At that time, it was called the Economic Recovery Plan, if I'm not mistaken, the ERP. And the ERP was meant to address like structural deficiencies, as I mentioned earlier. So I'm very glad that this is being looked into. I really hope that they will be able to put this forward. The 12 Malaysia plan, if I understand the difference between this and the ERP, or what's now going to be the NRP, is that the 12 Malaysia plan is more broad-based, whereas the National Recovery Plan will be more focused on structural and institutional problems and barriers.
So, Tricia, implementation here is also quite key. So when it comes to implementing this NRP, how can it be done so that all of the government, civil service, private sector, even the public are on the same page?
The consultations really need to be meaningful, and the views that are taken in from all sides need to be taken into consideration. So the implementation, I mean, this is always the primary problem, I think, of government plans. We are wonderful at that, and you've heard this many times. The implementation falls because the coordination is very poorly done. I think one problem that has been highlighted many times is the prioritization is not clear. So we've got, say, 30 things, whether in the 12 Malaysia plan or in the NRP, but how do we, number one, prioritize, and number two, sequence them and these whatever reforms are being proposed in a way that the economy can absorb as well, right? Because I mean, as you correctly pointed out, the civil service, the private sector need to be able to deliver this together. And does the government, does the public sector have the absorptive capacity to be able to roll this out? I mean, don't forget, we've got other plans as well. There's the My Digital Blueprint that was just released a couple of months ago. So there's so many plans, and how do we prioritize, coordinate and sequence all of these? I think that's really important to address.
Tricia, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Tricia Yeo, CEO of the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, giving us a little bit of insight into the NRP, some of the points that she highlighted, which should be considered moving forward. And of course, the issue, the perennial issue here in Malaysia of many plans, but how do we implement them? So up next, though, we're going to be talking about the implementation of PIKAS with MITI Deputy Secretary General for Industry, Datuk Sri Nor Azman Ayub. So be sure to stay tuned for that after these messages, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.